Grace and peace to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. There are a group of men training to be Navy SEALs. And their commander took them to their first exercise and explained what he expected of them. But one of them piped up and he said, "Commander, how many Navy SEALs are you going to accept this year? What about him? He doesn't look like he's doing so good already." And the commander looked at him and said, "It doesn't matter how many we're going to accept, and stop thinking about him. If that's what you're focused on, I can tell you right now, you will never make it." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our sermon, we're going to explore where you're at. We're not going to speculate about other people. We're going to explore where your feet are. Are they in the narrow door or not? And as we explore, we're going to come to this great reversal. And at this great reversal, we're going to see, where have we come? But to get there, we got to start at the beginning of our text. What do we see Jesus doing? He's teaching and proclaiming the word of God, but what was his real mission? He was on his way. He had resolutely set himself to go to Jerusalem. But he couldn't help himself on the way down. He couldn't help but zigzag back and forth. And it's in one of these zigzags that someone is curious and asks him a deep theological question. "Lord, are just a few going to be saved?" But notice that Jesus never answers that question. He pushes it aside and he takes that no-name question asker and he puts him right in to our text. And he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know where you are from.'" Are you there with this question asker? You had a curiosity, you had a deep question, you ask Jesus, but he pushes it aside and he gives you some hard words. You see, he makes this very personal. Did you hear he kept it in the second person? You. What's he doing? He's grabbing you away from the speculation of others. And he's giving you hard words of self-reflection. Where are you? And he's putting you in a really uncomfortable spot. He's getting you to see what's going to happen if you find yourself outside of God's grace. And so what is his first admonition to us? He says, strive, literally agonize, to enter through that narrow door. We heard the same word for agonize last Sunday preached on Hebrews, and now we hear it again. Who doesn't want to live with Jesus forever in heaven? What would get you to take some steps away from that narrow door? What road are you going down? Are you going down the easy road, or are you going down the agonizing road? When was the last time it was agonizing for you to be a Christian? Do you remember that time when your teenage daughter flipped out at you because you wouldn't let her wear that out of the house? Do you remember that TV show you used to watch? It had you on the edge of your seat every episode, but you had to give it up. You had to cut it off mid-episode because it was getting pornographic. Remember how you used to go out with your friends? You used to laugh so hard every time. But you had to turn them down. You had to stay home because it was getting too tempting. you know that pet sin, that you should fess up and get help, but you know how agonizing it would be to do so. Are you going down the easy road, or are you going down the agonizing road? And what happens if you don't go down that agonizing road, if you don't strive? The master will come and he'll shut the door. Just like when you were at that party and your friend shut the door and locked you out, and there was that moment of horror that you thought, maybe they really won't let me back in. But you're friends with them, so you get out your strong voice and you say, Lord, open up to us. But with no wry smile on his face, he says, I do not know you or where you come from. But you've got the audacity to prove him wrong because you're great friends with him. And so you say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. You were there at my baptism. You were there at my confirmation. You were there at my wedding, at my grandma's funeral. But all he will do is up the ante. I tell you, I do not know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. And at this point, you'll have nothing to say, because the horror will be realized. You had every advantage. You had the gospel laid into your hands, and you poured it on the ground. How does it happen? How could that happen? You see, you went on an epic journey called living your life as a Christian. And so you turned to God and you said, open up for us. And he said, I do not know you or where you come from. You said, what? I've been a Christian since before I was baptized. My parents were Christians. My grandparents, my great-grandparents were all Christians. I taught Sunday school. I gave a generous offering in grade school and even in high school. I didn't sleep around. You know, I would do anything for this church. Open up. Hear the end of Jesus' hard words. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. If you're outside the narrow door, you'll find yourself weeping inconsolably because your verdict will be realized. You cannot reverse it. You worked so hard, but for the wrong reason. And what will you see in your sorry state? And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. You'll see those people you speculated about, those people who made those egregious sins, who you gossiped about their sins, who you estimated were hideous in God's eyes, who are too ashamed to come to church. You'll see them feasting with Abraham, laughing with Isaac, hugging Jacob, but yourselves thrown out. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take Jesus' hard words to heart. Where are your feet? How do you strive to enter that narrow door? How do you get in? Don't miss this. You can't get in.
you can't go through. But do you remember what Jesus was doing at the beginning of our text? He was going to Jerusalem, putting himself below, beneath, under, behind everyone else. He was going to Jerusalem to make himself dead last. And what did he cry from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you closed the door? Open up for me. But there was no response. Only pure agony. But he did it for you, so that he could open up the narrow door for you, so that the dead in Christ would be the first to rise. And so now I ask you, where have you come to on this road? And the author of Hebrews, he tells us where we have come. First, he paints this picture, this horrific picture of Mount Sinai. You see this mountain trembling under the presence of God. You see the lightning and the smoke. And even Moses, this one who talked face to face with God, can't stand it. He's trembling. And then the author does his own great reversal, and he says, but this is not where you have come. You've come to Mount Zion, where there are thousands and thousands of angels, where your name is enrolled in heaven, where you have been perfected. And he gets to his best line. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The sprinkled blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the word of Abel. Well, what word did Abel's blood speak? We've got a hymn verse that helps us out with that. Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the sky. But the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. You're at Mount Zion. Hear the word of pardon. And as you strive to enter that narrow door, do you see Jesus standing? Standing in the threshold, reaching his arms out, beckoning. And you see those eyes of love that took the road to become dead last, even though he saw all those wrong way signs. You see, Jesus is the way. He's the way through the narrow door. But if you take your faith for granted, if you think you're okay, you're in danger of finding yourself outside that narrow door when the master comes and closes it. But those who think of themselves as nothing, who cling to faith in Jesus, will enter the narrow door. As pastors, we get to see this firsthand. People come to us for BIC class, Bible information class, and sometimes they know zero about God. And sometimes they're there for the wrong reason. They see a great school and they want a discount for their kids, but they get way more than what they bargained for. Because the Holy Spirit comes and he does a great reversal. That person you thought was going to be the last one singing praises to God in church, the last one who would volunteer on a Sunday, is now the first one at the narrow door. And as pastors, we also get to see the heartbreaking thing. We get to see that lifelong member, those do-it-allers for church, and then we see their son. He's 30 years old, and where is he? Is he stuffing his bag with the good works of his parents? Is he stuffing his bag with the knowledge of God that he required, that he acquired while he was here? How is he possibly going to enter the narrow door if he insists on holding on to that? Do you see this great reversal, this great exchange? You were grotesque, fat sinners, dead last, destined for Mount Doom. But Jesus came and he did the great reversal on the cross. And now, where have you come but to Mount Zion and to the sprinkled blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than vengeance, but speaks a word of pardon? The sprinkled blood of Jesus gives forgiveness to lifelong sinners and last-minute thieves. It takes your worthless life and makes Jesus' epic life your life. The sprinkled blood is the proof of what you're worth to God. You're worth more to him than the life of his own son, which he did not spare, but gave up willingly. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you strive to enter the narrow door? To not end up pouring this sweet gospel on the ground? Go to Bible study. Confess your sins. Pray to God, but above all, never get tired of hearing the story of Jesus and his love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have come to Mount Zion. You have heard the word of pardon. You're standing at the threshold, and Jesus will pull you through. May God give you the strength to live according to his will. Amen.